Don't you hate it when you know you're right, but somehow you still end up being in the wrong? You've played by the rules, your logic seems sound, but in the end it just doesn't quite add up. Every now and again we see this phenomenon in our legal system. There's a certain law at issue, and on its face, that law appears entirely appropriate. You can understand why the legislature passed it, or why it's necessary for administering justice in the courtroom. But then a situation comes along where application of the law doesn't seem to bring about the right result. In some cases, this requires a legislative fix. Congress will pass a new law or amend an existing law to deal with an unforeseen circumstance, closing a loophole, for example. Other times, there is no fix. I remember a criminal case that made headlines years ago. I won't get into factual details, but a jury member told the press that she had acquitted a man she believed was guilty. She followed the jury instructions to a T, the rules that were given to her by the judge, but in her estimation, those rules did not serve justice. Regardless of guilt or innocence in this case, the woman's sentiment itself shows how tricky adherence to the rules can be. At some point, following the letter of the law can undermine the spirit of the law. And at some point, logic is pushed to an illogical conclusion. This is what's going on in our gospel reading. The logic goes like this. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Under Jewish law, healing was considered work. Work was forbidden on the Sabbath unless there was some sort of emergency. The woman Jesus healed was in no state of emergency. Therefore, Jesus should have healed her the following day, which would have avoided the problem altogether. This is the view of the leader of the synagogue. We can imagine him thinking through the scenario like a math problem on a chalkboard. If A, then B, if B, then C, and eventually we arrive at the solution, circle the answer, drop the chalk. But then Jesus comes in and erases the whole thing. Jesus's opponents are more than a little miffed. What does this guy think he's doing? Jesus was a religious leader himself, steeped in Jewish law and tradition. Shouldn't he know better? Well, yes, he did know better. The whole record of Jesus's life and ministry could be summed up as he knew better than the rest of us. In this instance, Jesus knew better because he looked at the reason behind the rule itself. Now, there are two reasons, two rationales for the commandment to observe the Sabbath. One is to honor God. That's why we're all here today. As a child, I learned the Ten Commandments in order by using hand gestures. And number four is to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So you hold up four fingers and move your hand kind of like this. And it's supposed to be four people in the car going to church. We honor God by observing the Sabbath. The other rationale for the fourth commandment is to honor ourselves and one another by taking a day of rest. And there's a social justice component to this. God introduces all 10 commandments with these words. I, the Lord your God, brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Therefore, give some freedom. Give some rest to those over whom you have power. This includes your kids, your servants, your animals. Everyone gets a day off to rest as God rested after creating the world. The whole economy slows down for one day a week, a day to be set aside for community, for worship, for reflection, for walks, meals, conversations, things that help us recharge. And that's why Jesus also says, The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. God's laws were intended to bless us so that we can be blessings to the world. And the Jewish leaders have lost sight of this bigger picture. Otherwise, they would see that Jesus setting this woman free was the perfect thing to do on the Sabbath. But they are so focused on deducing the right answer step by step that they don't check that answer against the larger commandment of love. I'll give you a modern day example of this concept. Several years ago, I saw an episode of Dr. Phil. Some of you might remember that Dr. Phil was a spinoff of the Oprah Winfrey Show. He's a psychologist who invited guests on his show so he could help them with their home life, work life, relationships, addictions, what have you. And in this particular episode, there was a couple who had been married for maybe 5 or 10 years. And the wife was complaining that her husband never took her out on dates anymore. She was frustrated because the spark had gone out. She wanted him to whisk her off and make more of an effort to revive the romance. So she mounts this truly damning critique of her husband's shortcomings in this regard, just lays right into him. So Dr. Phil suggests that maybe she do more to encourage her husband or do something to otherwise help the situation. She's not hearing it. She continues on her rant. And eventually, Dr. Phil says in this loud, booming voice, "Do you want to be right? Or do you want to eat dinner in a nice restaurant with your husband?" The wife wanted to be right so much that she was putting her marriage at risk. She was undermining the very thing she wanted to preserve. Sound familiar? It does to me. No matter what relationship you're in, parent, sibling, spouse, friend, if it involves love, then being right never carries the day. And that's because our relationships aren't based on following rules. There are principles and guidelines, to be sure. And in marriage, there are certainly obligations under covenant. These are important for establishing trust, accountability, and equality. But there is no formula or instruction manual for making our relationships work. And the same is true for our relationship with God. The Bible is not a rule book. It is the revelation of the good news in Jesus Christ. And if we treat it as a book of law, we will end up in the exact same mindset as the leader of the synagogue in today's gospel reading. And we will run the risk of turning the word of God into an idol. God is so much bigger than the Bible. God cannot be contained. God in Christ cannot be contained in that synagogue, and the Holy Spirit, who breaks all boundaries and transcends all limitations of human reason, cannot be contained now. So the bottom line, Christianity is not about being right. Christianity is about being love. It's about embodying Christ, the one who makes us right with God. Amen.